It's great to be back. That apparently I am welcome back. So I'm honored to be here, and thank you, Pastor Ian and Sabina, for having me back. And it's a great joy to be back in Great Britain. And I declare and decree that Britain will be always great for the purpose of the kingdom. He has made you great. And it has been a very, very powerful pack years for me, 2018. I have seen the most supernatural. I have seen the most healing, restoration, provision, and miracles of all my journey of the last more than 10 years of walking by faith and not by sight. You know what that is all about. I was here last week for a conference. I'm speaking at a conference in Portsmouth. There was a couple hundred people over there for the conference, and God indeed has released the anointing for this new season upon you. And so this year is a very powerful year, and I'm going to speak what is the year, the word for this year over a lot of nations. But we are expecting more of God. We have to position ourselves in a position of receiving heavenly abundance. And this year is a year of abundance and increase. Whatever aspect in your life, this is the year that you will harvest a great harvest. Whatever that you've been praying for relationship, for job, for family, for finance, for children, whatever that is, this year is the year of harvesting. Harvesting. Harvesting means it's already there and we just go and take it. But it's still not yours if you don't go and take it. Hallelujah. So it take your partnership of your willingness with what God the Father already released to come together. He's always there, and the wonderful thing about it, He's always meet us right where we are. He doesn't wait for you to become a better person, a better mother, a better father, a better brothers to bless you. He will meet you right where you are. And so this year, the year that you have to raise your expectation a little bit, even remove the bars of expectation. Remove it in the name of Jesus. So the breakthrough coming behind after I have been in a lot of nations, and in fact, since I saw you last in August, I have not been resting because the moving of God among this earth, amongst the nation, it powerfully and urgently. When I say urgently, mean the times is now and the times is near. And what God about to do among the people on the surface of the earth is would be beyond our capacity of understanding, but He's gonna increase your capacity of receiving. Hallelujah. Beyond your capacity of understanding, but He's gonna increase your capacity of receiving. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's a good thing. I mean, that's a good thing. So that means that you don't need to know a lot of things. You don't need to understand a lot of things, but you still have the belief and you still have the faith and trust to receive more of God than what the Father has in His household. Hallelujah. So when I say the harvest is ready, In every way. December, I was in Nepal, and it was not an easy. Nepal is something God wanted me to be going and caring And it was not originally for me to choose to go to. However, I have seen the faithfulness of God. I have seen the miracles of God. I've seen the supernatural thing happening along the way. I've seen a lot of healing taking place last December, big time, in the entire nation of Nepal. And I have been by faith going there for the last 6 years. And I have seen the great harvest. Thanks to the people who went there before, because I know that the people going there 20 years, 30 years before ahead of me. But only the last 6 years I was able to see the turning around of the body of Christ in Nepal big time. Wherever I was sent to by the Holy Spirit, there is a great harvest of revival. So it's a matter of your obedience. It's not a matter of what you can do. So it's the matters of your obedience, because in December, I was not in a position to go because I was in Japan for a long time, and the ministry was really caught up on me in a way that I was really tired. But I know that God wanted me to go to Nepal, but I still begging God, can I not go? Can I go next year, not 2018? But I still struggling in a way because of the strength. Just physical strength. And I wanted to delay it when I was in Japan. I did ask God to delay it. But guess what? When I was walking on the street of Tokyo, looking for a church and a house of prayer in Tokyo, I was with Corey, actually. And on that street, the day that I asked the Lord that, can I not go into Nepal this year? And go later, on that street, on that same day, everywhere I went, there was just the flag of Nepal everywhere. In Japan. What can I do? I was just like, I would rather go. I don't want to be like Jonas, to be in the smelly fish on a journey, you know? So I had to be obedient. And because of the obedience of not knowing, but because of believing who my Father is, that released the atmosphere in a spiritual atmosphere, that released heaven to come and meet us right where we are. The reason I'm saying that, I am a living miracle. I'm living every day with miracle. Miracle to me is normal. I don't even pray for miracle. I pray for the presence of God to be with me. When you are walking and when you are in the presence of God, miracle and sign and wonder following you. You're not following miracle. You are supposed to be a miracle yourself. But the miracle that God has ordained for you, for that job, for that assignment, for that day, will fall into its parts. If you would believe it, you would receive it. So, for Nepal, it's a very poor nation, so to raise support, to raise fund, for Nepal, I'm training the pastor and the leader of across the whole nation. There's 5 regions in that country, and it's divided into 77 districts. So I don't remember every name of that nation, I mean every district. I don't. But I challenge all the pastors and the leaders in my network, that if you leave this place and not remember every single district of your own nation, that is wrong. We're not going to leave this place until you remember all the district and that during that revival meetings. And so to go there, we need a big miracle of finance, like in no time, like now. Like 10 days, and I was asking for almost $10,000 to cover the cost of training the few hundred pastor and leaders. That's what I'm doing over there. Just to speak to the local pastor and leader and training, bring them together in unity and help to come to the point of entering into destiny as a nation, to take the nation back. So it's a great big job over there. So for 10 days, $10,000, pray Jesus. Only Jesus has that such kind of money. Yes? Yeah. So So my prayer was just like Moses in Exodus 33. Remember, Lord, it was not my idea to go to this nation. It was not my desire to go there at all. But remember, Lord, this is also your nation. Do something about it. I pass the responsibility on God Himself, because He's alone is able and well able to give us exceedingly and abundantly beyond what we can do or we even comprehend. And He was able to. So, and the story of my life is it never be there when I wanted it. It's only be there when I'm walking the walk of faith and obedience. Meaning that when the day I left Vietnam to fly to Nepal via Malaysia is a connection. The money is not there for me to even like sing a song, like praising or whatever. Is there on the back of my mind, there's still the number jumping. Right? So, but I choose to believe who's my Father is. I choose to believe that He's able and He's call you, He will equip you, He will appoint you, He will anoint you, and He will provide you. It's on God, really. So I halfway to Malaysia, the money started to come just for what happening in Nepal. And even the level of spiritual warfare was not easy, because the airplane that I was waiting in Malaysia to go next, after 7 hours waiting and 5 hours waiting for the connection and 2 hours in the runway, the pilot could not get the airplane take off. Like just not taking off, not going anywhere. And that's, it's like in the evening. And the worst thing is that, they would not let you know what's going on. I wanted to know what's going on. Everybody was wanting to know what is going on, but there was no announcement. And for 2 hours like that, waiting for not knowing what's going on, everybody get tired and everybody gets, it's 7 hours by that point already, get frustrated for what's going on, because they don't let you know whether we can take off or not taking off. So then finally, the lady, the attendant announced that there's something wrong with the radar. That's not very good. And to your understanding, that Nepal has the most plane crash in the whole world. That's not very encouraging to hear. I mean, you go into the nation where they have the most plane crash in the whole world. Every year you hear a lot of, because their airplane is very small and very outdated. And they have the most airplane crash. And now the lady is saying the radar is not working. Where were you flying to, and how are you going to find a spot, the place to even land it, if you ever make it? So, and then this is what troubled me, is that she's saying the pilot is trying to fix it. No, the pilot cannot fix it. How can the pilot be fixing the airplane? The pilot, his job is not fixing anything. The engineer will fix something, but not the pilot. So when she said that the pilot is trying to fix the radar equipment, that was the end of my patience. That was like, I say, Lord, you do something and you do something now that I would die another day, but not today. But then I would die in somewhere else more beautiful, that is not in this stupid, stinky airplane. Yes, I said. And I said, Lord, if this pilot, he's so stupid, he cannot fix it, and he has to admit that he cannot fix it. Just make him admit in his ignorance and changing another airplane. 2 minutes later, they said, we have to go back to the base and waiting for a new airplane. Pray Jesus. I don't know if the new airplane is any better, but I feel better. Okay? And maybe they send back the same thing. You don't even know it, but God is good. God is always good. And he meet us where we are because we choose to trust him in the situation of not very easy to trust. We will have more concern, the concern of safety, the concerning of things around you, the concerning of the surrounding will distract our focus big time. And so they changed the new airplane and we was able to go there. And God has brought forth a lot of revival meeting. There's somewhere that we went to, God is showing me the place that I never been to. And I don't even know one soul in that city. And I went to there and there was 85 to 90 pastor leaders waiting for the revival meetings. And the flow, during the worship, we don't have to even pray for the manifestation of his goodness. I'm saying during the praise, we have already received miracle of healing and restoration. Hundreds of people get saved just like that. During my journey in Nepal for that trip, we have been with more than 200 in three different locations. And what encouraged me is that the young generation, the young leader in that nation. I also was training some of the young leaders there. They are in their early 20, 18 to 20, 24. And they are attending a school. They call the school of worship. A school of worship. That is what's going on right now. As we entering and seeking the face of God, that where everything started, and also that is where heaven outpouring, breakthrough and abundance. So that school of worship with the young children, generation men and women of God, they have a daytime job, they go to school, but every night they will go to that school of worship just to worship God together and to experience the presence of the Lord together. And they're not even coming from the same church. They are representative of many different churches in the same area. What a picture of unity of the body. What a picture of the time has come for the generations to come out together. It's a beautiful picture. This, I believe that when you see that, it's not anything man can do. It's not men that can draw the attention of young people that to sacrifice their every evening and go to worship God. And that not all. On Saturday, all of those young men and women would go into the village to minister to one or two churches by themselves, meaning they don't have a senior leader to go with them. They are sent out and they are willing to be sent and they are just going. And that I'm talking about a kind of revival, the readiness of the harvest for the kingdom of God. It's just so ready. I would like to invite you into Psalm 27 and to see more breakthrough, because King David, actually in the middle of facing the enemy, he was asking God for one thing. He did not ask for the increase of weapon. He did not ask for the increase of men or mighty armies. He did not ask for more gold and silver. He did not ask anything else. But one thing I ask of the Lord, this that what I seek, that I might dwell in the house of the Lord all the day of my life, to gaze upon the beauties of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. That is the key of the warfare that we're going through. That is the key of the battle that we are going through. Whether that is personal, whether that your family or your city or your nation, the key is to seek the face of God. The key is to seek the face of God. In that location, Hethauda, there was famous for witchcraft activity. When you enter into that area, you could not even stand all by yourself. The level of darkness that's surrounding that area, which is crazy. You either get very sick or you get very sleepy. Oh my gosh, the enemy is just sneaky. Yes? You don't feel well for the whole time, or you falling asleep. On the way, just walking like this, you can fall asleep. just walking like that, you just could not holding yourself together. That the level of witchcraft in that city, in that town, village, in the middle of Himalaya. And so, if that is happening, how can the pastor and leader survive to worship God? Because everybody is just so tired and just not able to pull themselves together. And so, I sent off several intercessors to march around that area. Some of the Korean intercessors that are following me. I have a team of 7 worship leaders in Nepal. Young men from Nepal. They are the best worship leaders, worship people that I ever known in that nation. And they are willing to go wherever I'm going. That is a confirmation of God, because I could never seek for it. I could never pay for it. I could never prepare that. I could never make them willing and ready. But they said that Debbie's sister, they call Debbie's sister. Yeah, Debbie's sister, we go wherever God is sending you. Let's take this nation back to the Lordship of Jesus. Let's do it now. So that's why I have a team of intercessors from the Korean people, and then I have the Nepalese worship leaders. So I send off an intercessor to march around to declare the words of God, so they would just go and declaring the words of God, surrounded that area to break through the ground of whatever stronghold that right there in that spot that we don't know, whatever kind of evil activity or witchcraft that has been going on to that mountain. So they went out and do that before we could even hold us ourselves together and entering into the worship. And as we're entering into the worship, that where I'm sharing with you, we experience the touch of the Holy Spirit. We experience the touch of God that even you ask for, He's already given. The one thing that God is asking His body right now around the world is to seek the face of the Lord, to be in His presence, to be the carrier of His presence, to be the light and life of Jesus wherever we are going. That is your assignment. That is your calling. That is who you are. And that is where you see the miracle happening. That is when you see the hands of God is upon you. Hallelujah. When the four nations in Asia, Chinese would not like Vietnamese, Vietnam would never like Chinese, or Korean would never like Japanese, and Japanese would never like Korean. And the Korean has a war with Vietnam because they gang up with the American army to go to fight Vietnam. So that create more enemies than friends. And then Japanese also invaded Vietnam before 1945. 1945 wasn't born then, but I heard. I heard they came, and I heard they lost the game. But anyway, but it's created a generational. This is just a hatred amongst the nation because the enemy wanted to kill and destroy and divide the household of God. You see that? You see that whatever that going on right now is from one nation to another nation, there's a division. There's big time division. I am better, you are better. That kind of thing. I am stronger, you are stronger. And that kind of thing. But when 2015 we come together in Hong Kong as nation to come together to repent with each other and reconcile and forgive each other, in the arena of 20 something thousand people, there were just merely just waiting on God and worship God. We did not even know what to pray for because we don't know. It's just overwhelming of the problem in our life. And I'm telling you, the problem in your life will always be overwhelming. If you let it overwhelm you, it will always overwhelm you. But instead, you have to choose to let the Spirit of God overwhelm you rather than your trouble overwhelming you. That way you experience the miracle and breakthrough and the abundance and provision and the victory over the battle. So when we came together like that, four nations, four chopstick nations, China, Korea, Japan, and Vietnam, you know what happened? On July the 7th, that year, and soon, during the worship, we was able to stop the storm that hitting the island. That storm that going into our direction, and we was demanding and declaring and commanding the storm to redirect and go back to the ocean, which it did. Hallelujah. And that not all, because we were so pumped up by the fact that the storm is scaring of us. We're so pumped up already. We say, hallelujah, praise God. Can you imagine 22,000 people? Hallelujah. Oh my gosh. You either love it or you either faint. Right? Because it's so loud. But if you can have 20,000 people and nobody even talking or breathing in quietness, that is where the power release. Where there's unity, there's authority. Where unity, there's authority. And I'm speaking over you, United Kingdom, that when there is unity, godly unity, there will be authority and power. So when that happened, that you can't get 20 people shut up together at the same time. It's not easy job, right? And you cannot even get the four nations shut up when they are in one location. And that it's just not four nations. It's 30-something nations. But the four nations are the focus of the meeting of reconciliation. But there was representative of another 30 over nation. We don't agree with each other on a lot of things. I mean, only little thing, a big thing, the way you eat, the way I eat. I don't like the way she eats, and she doesn't like the way I holding my chopstick. That you see the problem. But if you can get 20-something thousand people of different nation and land and culture, background, and all that to be in the quietness of waiting on God, in quietness for the presence of God to come. And to find a dwelling place among you. That is key. That is when you can experience the power of God is releasing in you and through you. That same morning when the next day when we receive a news on the newspaper, the biggest pagoda in North Vietnam that has been built for 3 years and it has not been open to public yet was destroyed to the ground as the four nations come together and worship God. Just to worship God, that already can bring down the stronghold of the enemy. Would you believe and would you see the power, the authority, when the household of God go coming together in unity, and instead of seeking for the way to solve the problem, we're seeking the Lord of hosts first thing first. First thing first. If you remember the story Jehoshaphat, when the three armies that forming against them, coming together to go against the armies of Jehoshaphat. And the thing is that he would seek God first by asking, what should we do? Should we go fight? How should we find the vast armies that come in against us? And the revelation and the obedience is key. I'm talking about the obedience. I'm telling you the obedience. At the other side of your obedience, there's always be something big. There's always breakthrough. There's always miracle. There's always something significant waiting for you. But the key is walking in obedience is refusing to see the thing that you want to see, but embracing the thing of unseen, the eternal thing. Because a lot of things we don't see. When the army came against the nation of Israel, so Jehoshaphat would ask God what to do. And listen, this is not the norm. This is not normal. Because he would say that you would just send your worship team to go in front of your armies. I mean, the worship team go in front of your army. That's not a very good strategy. I mean, the worship team will be just playing hiddenly behind a mountain somewhere, waiting patiently and nervously for your army to win so that you can go out and celebrate. But you know what I mean? But you don't know if you're winning or not winning. So even the worship team were hiding somewhere shaking because the three armies are forming and go against you. But here the Lord said that no, you send the trumpet, the people who play the music, the musician and the people of worship to go in front of the armies. And I know that this is not, we see, when we read the story, it seems easy, but let's put yourself in that situation. It would not be easy. Would you be standing there playing music and singing like that in front of, and when your army is in front of you, and actually all your men, soldier, all your men is behind you, not in front of you. You would just have to play and shake at the same time. Yeah, you have to, I don't know if you can even get your voice right or get your instrument right in that very scenario. However, we see the victory as they go. Because the Lord sent confusion into the camp of the enemy. And the Lord has indeed sent confusion into a lot of camp of the enemy on our behalf if we would believe it. If we would believe it. Seek into His presence. Remain in His glory. Now I'm going to invite you to take a look at another very very interesting story where I mentioned before on Exodus, because I'm going to connect the two together just to wow you a little bit, because God is so good. God is a faithful God, and He really good. And for you that who have a million of questions, a million of concern, a million of worries behind your brain, in your brain right now, I'm going to break it free today, because you're going to see the significance of who our God is today. So as Moses was so scared about, was tired, and he said, Lord, do not send me go up there. Unless you're going with me. Unless your presence going with me. Moses also acknowledged the power in the presence of God. The authority in the presence of God. And he said, I'm not going to go anywhere unless you're going with me. And the Lord said, yes, my presence will go with you. You remember that? And then it's the most beautiful thing is that if God's presence is going with you, the significant thing is He's going to give you rest. Hey, hallelujah. You have to be hallelujah louder than that. Because when you, yes, He said that my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. Rest on every side, deep within and outside, from the four corner that's surrounding you, all the surrounding you, you need to find rest, secure in Him. You say, oh, I have the presence of God. I'm not going to know what I'm going to do tomorrow. My mom is sick. My husband is away. My children is not eating. That's not rest. That's not rest. Oh, who's going to pay for my rent next month? I'm asking God. That's my question. Like, who am I going to pay? I sold everything and packed everything in the 11 suitcases and give my life to God. I still have 11 suitcases, but I want to confess that I bought a new suitcase, so now it's 12. Hallelujah. I need 2 for shoes. God love me for that. Yeah, 2 for shoes is not so outrageous. It's called abundance. It's called abundance of the Lord. So I have 12 right now, and I'm happy about it. So I even remember, I shared with you before, but I said even shoe that I love, God regard. What matters to me, matters to God. What matters to you, matters to God. One of my first trip 6 years ago in Nepal, in the middle of nowhere, in a mission trip at the border with the silly Indian people, you know, and there's no food, there's no nothing, there's no toilet, no nothing, we just bug, and I would lock up basically the pastor in my connection. He said, Debbie, I will lock you in here and I go and find food for you, and when I go back, I will knock 3 times. On the ceiling, if you can. Knock 3 times kind of thing, and you will open door. But other than that, you should not open your door. It's a dangerous area. because it's a border right where the Indian people will come to the Nepalese. And I said, okay, I'll wait for you. So I will go into a small bed and I'll put my jacket on because it's so filthy and dirty and I don't want to lay on that. So I put my jacket on and I will lay like this. Just manage my body in my jacket, okay? Not touching anything. It was lonely. It was one of those moments when you are tired, when you're asking, why should I do this? What have I done with my life? That all of the thing that come into your mind that really torturing you. And it's not the worst yet. When I lay down there, oh my gosh, there's so many bugs up there. Because I look, now I never look, now look, and the bug which is for crying up there. And I was just like, oh Jesus, save me. Save me one last time, you know. Just as that, one of the biggie bug falling on my face. Oh gosh, that was just like, oh, that was the end of my evening. I was just like taking the bug off and just bursting into crying and say, what have I done with my life? Yeah, in one of those, there's a lot of victory, but there's a lot of tear also, people. There's a lot of tear that a lot of time you don't see when you see people standing up there on the stage with sharing the goodness of God and all the victory. There is tear. There's perseverance, I would say. There's obedience. There's a cost of obedience. To me, the bug is the cost of obedience. I wouldn't mind with no food. I'm fine with no food. They should not put curry on everything, which I said, but they would not listen, so I don't say anymore because they love curry. So I in the nation, I have to try everything. I eat everything. So I don't mind there is no food. I don't mind even there's no warm water. There's no electricity. Okay? So, in that moment, I was so lonely and missing my shoe. Oh God. I mean, I could pray for God to kill the bug, but I forgot. I didn't pray for God to kill all those bugs. I said, Lord, you calling me here? I have no more energy. I have no more inspiration. I'm done. I'm finished. I get out. I'm out of here and I'm missing my shoes. I lost my mind. I'm sorry. I lost my mind. I was so, when I say I miss my shoe and I laugh at myself because it's out of the norm. It's stupid. It's stupid to say I'm in the middle of nowhere and I miss my shoe. Don't you think? But God is good. When I finish my trip and come home, somebody sent me a pair of new shoes, my brand and my size. My favorite brand. Praise God! He knows the desire of your heart. And He also cares for you to the detail. I'm telling you to the detail, meaning that whatever matters to you, matters to God. If you will believe, if you walk in authority, if you walk in obedience, if you know who your Father is, and if you know you are sent for greater purpose, the rest of whatever that matters in your life, the Lord will provide. And the provide in His timing, in His perfect timing. Perfect, perfect. I have been traveling to the nation of South Korea since 2002. I don't know how many years now, 2002 now. 17-year-old girls, that nation need to revive soon. That's long enough. That's 17 years. Oh, all of my whole life is in that nation already. If they are not revived, yes, there's something wrong. But they are. They are. There's a great revival. I never seen any nation that loving God that much. 25% Christian right now, and they are the voice of the nation. When everybody talking about Christian, the non-believer will talk about you and treating you with respect and love. With respect and love. I'm talking with respect and love. If you are a pastor, leader, and you walk into a restaurant and you talk to the boss or the owner, and you say, I'm a pastor, so-and-so, your meal will be free. Then how much respect? If somebody give you free, it's respect. Yes, nice. No, I'm talking about the trust that you have as a church, as body of Christ, and that what a lot of nation missing now. And Korea, one of the nation I love dearly, and I go there the last 17 years, and I have seen a lot the hand of God is upon that nation. And the level of love they have for God is just over the top, over the top. I never seen any nation and any believer that would sow into the kingdom of God. It's not just about 10%. It's not about 10%. 10% is not a question to the Korean people. They sow 40% of their income. Why? Because 40% is nothing if God promising to give you 30, 60, and 100-fold of your 40%. The principle of the kingdom is of your heart, attitude, and how much you love to be part of what God is doing. God doesn't need anything of you. God doesn't call you to have to give anything to the church or to the pastor. God is demanding and desiring us to partner with the kingdom. We partner with the kingdom. That's a different attitude, different perspective. Now, I bring that perspective to view in the story in John 21, that when the disciple was spending a whole night trying to catch the fish, remember? By that time, Jesus already resurrected. And the whole night, they couldn't catch anything. They are the professional of fishermen. They went back to what they know best. But that whole night, they caught nothing. With your own efforts, you will catch nothing. But when Jesus came and he said that, go to that side on the right side, just like that. When you are in the direction of God, there's abundance waiting for you. When you are regarding the words of God, regarding Him at who He is, there is blessing waiting for you, provision waiting for you, breakthrough waiting for you. Everything you want is waiting for you, if you believe that. If you believe, you will see the glory of God. So they came back out and they got a whole bunch in their net. To the point that the net was broken. That the overflowing. That the abundance I'm talking about. I'm releasing the abundance of the blessing of God upon you right now. I'm releasing the abundance of heaven because the time is now and you're going to receive it. If you believe, you will see the glory of God. And if you believe, and let God do His job and let you do your job. You need to believe and hearing from the Lord and be obedient. That's what you need to do. So the astonishing thing is when they finished with that and they came to shore and Jesus was there waiting for them and there the breakfast has been ready made. Remember that Jesus did not sit around waiting for you bring your food or your fish. No, if we think that waiting and wanting your money, you are so wrong, and you would never see any breakthrough if you think like that. But what did he invite the disciple? He want you to have that portion of the kingdom, that portion of what the Father has in his household. He said to them, even though he already had the fish baking and grilling, with some fresh bread. He said, bring some of the fish you just caught. Yeah. Hallelujah. He did not say, bring some beef jerky. He did not ask. All of a sudden, I miss beef jerky, which is a very American thing. Yeah. The British eat beef jerky? No? Oh God, British are strange. But anyway, I still love you. The American are strange too. Oh gosh. We are strange in our own way. And we think we are normal. That is the problem. That is the problem of division. Because you think you are normal. But you're not normal at all. And you think other people are not normal. When they think they are normal. So you can argue throughout the eternity, but it won't solve the problem. But you have to acknowledge that you are the people of God, and all the people are belonging to God of the same household. And that will settle your perspective. Yes? And amen. Hallelujah. So Jesus is inviting us, bring what you have, not what you don't have. bring the fish that you just caught because I want to share the kingdom with you. I want to share a portion of my father's household with you. I want you to partake it and together with me celebrate the goodness of God. Celebrate the goodness of God. Hallelujah. And so when Moses say, see, now I'm connecting. I'm not just like Kedeshin Teri. I'm connecting the whole world, and I'm able to connect my message. And sometimes my message is one thing and my speaking is another thing. So that's the reason why I applied for the Bible school but never go to it. I applied for it. I got admitted. But I thought, if I never go to the Bible school, God would never call me. Because I never wanted to be in ministry. I hated it before. With ministry, with my parents in ministry. Or their life is about ministry. It's still pastoring a church. My parents still pastoring a church. My brother is pastoring another church. That's their life. But I thought, it's not my life. I want to be rich. And I want to make money. Yeah. So I applied, but I thought, if I have the Bible, if I finish Bible school, I cannot say no to God. So if I don't have Bible school training, God has no reason to call me. He will call somebody else. And then I remember sharing with you, in my desperation, I was praying to God, that, Lord, if you need somebody in the family to serve you, call my brother. Remember? Yes. And he did call him my brother, and he did call me. How about that? That's God. So, but anyway, so when Moses was asking, show me, if your presence is not going with me, I'm not going anywhere. And the Lord said, my presence will go with you. I'll give you rest. I was right there, right? So you need rest, knowing that He has your back, knowing that heaven is backing you up. All that God has in the kingdom is yours, and He backing you up. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what you've done. Doesn't matter what you are doing. Doesn't matter how big your sin or how small your sin. But as you acknowledge who your father is, they're liberty. That you are being set free. And you are being set free for a greater purpose. For a greater purpose. And so, and then the Lord said to Moses that because I am pleased with you, you find favor in me. Hallelujah. I mean, Moses asking to be in his presence, and the Lord said, you find favor in me. Don't you think that's a good deal? That is a very good deal, because you don't need to do a thing. To be called, you found favor in my sight, and I'm going to go to do anything you ask for. Hallelujah! I mean, that just to seek in the presence of God, and He said that I find favor. You find favor in me. Now tell me, what can I do for you? Tell me, what can I do for you? And Moses said, in verse 18, then Moses said, show me your glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And Moses, that was not satisfied with what already he accomplished and received. He wanting more of God. He wanting more of His presence. He wanting more of the goodness of God through His glory. You need to seek in, and you need to want more of what God has, who He is. Actually, His glory is who He is. He glorious. Hallelujah. And when you are in His glory, you are glorious as your Father. You understand it? This will blow your mind. I'm going to release it over you. Then, in that 18, when Moses said that, show me your glory. And the Lord said, I will cause all my goodness pass before of you. All my goodness pass before of you. And I will proclaim my name, the Lord, and in your presence, I will have mercy on those I have mercy, and I will have compassion on those I have compassion. Meaning that He too to have mercy on you and compassion on you, not because you have done anything good. Do you get that? The grace of God is just because He chose to love you. He chose to have mercy on you. He chose to have mercy on the people of Rickwall. He chose to have mercy on the nation of Great Britain. He chose to have mercy on us. Compassion and mercy. He chose us. He chose us. It's not because you have done anything good. It's because He chose us before the foundation of earth. Hallelujah. And because He chose that, He has said, I proclaim my name. Now, when He proclaimed His name is not just a title. His name is who He is. His name means goodness, is His goodness. His name is Jehovah Rapha, the healer. Jehovah Nixi, Jehovah provider, the provider. And Jeshua Shammah, means the Lord is here and the Lord is there. I am with you, I'm here, I'm there, I'm everywhere. I am near. That's why He said that that's my name. Meaning that who I am, and I'm willing to give you all that. I said, the Lord said, I will cause all my goodness come in front of you. I want you to receive this word. Because as you seek into His presence, He's willing to give you all His goodness. Not one, not two. Not 10. All of the goodness of heaven is bringing in front of you. You don't have to go and seek for it. The word causing here means He is the one who making His goodness come in front of you. Not you go and seek after it. Do you see the difference here? Not you go and searching, oh, where can I find the goodness of God? Where can I find finance, abundance? Where can I find health, provision? Where can I find this and that? No. No, it's not at all. Find God. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all other things shall be added to you, including all His goodness. And He said, I will cause, meaning He the one who making it. Make sure it come in front of you. Make sure it come in front of you, one after another. One after another. One after another. You can count it throughout eternity and still not count it all of His goodness. That how good our Lord is. How good our Father is. How good. He said in in John 1:16, that in the abundance of His, in the fullness of His abundance of His grace, that we all have received all His blessing one after another. One after another. One after another. And I believe that this is the year for you, that seeking God for who He is. Seeking God because He is good God. Because in Him there's a fullness of His goodness and abundance that available for us. And He will make sure, He will cause His goodness come in front of you. In front of you, He will cause it happen, come and run, running before of you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is a breakthrough for us to reposition ourselves of where we are standing. What we're expecting. Because if we're expecting to have the fullness of God Himself, we will expect He causing all His goodness to come before us. One after another. All of the blessing, one after another. All of the provision, one after another. All of the health and that you are healing that you've been praying for. And right now, I want to release it over you right now. Let's standing up right now. And I'm going to release it, the year of the breakthrough over you. I'm going to anoint you. And just receive whatever you have been asking the Lord. Because this morning, I believe that God is going to break through and break free among us. He break through and break free. So just position yourself in the place of receiving. Hallelujah. In the place of receiving, because God is about to outpouring His blessing.